This is Jay Sekulow in Washington. No answers on the Benghazi tragedy.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We were misled that there were supposedly protests and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
I think that ultimately with your leaving, you accept the culpability for the worst tragedy since 9/11. And I really mean that. Had I been president at the time and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable.
The secretary went today and said, well, why does this matter? Here's why it matters. Because when they put out word that this was not a terrorist attack, it was sprung out of a spontaneous uprising, it furthered the narrative that somehow Al-Qaeda was in disarray. And the fundamental question is, did the administration really believe that? Because if they did, they badly miscalculated. Or did they know it wasn't true, but for political reasons, did not want that narrative out there?
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I think it's inexcusable that you did not know about this and that you did not read these cables. I would think by anybody's estimation, Libya has to have been one of the hottest of hot spots around the world. Not to know of the request for securities really, I think, cost these people their lives. Their lives could have been saved had someone been more available, had someone been aware of these things, more on top of the job.
Why weren't you the person to appear on the Sunday shows immediately following the attack? Ambassador Susan Rice said that you declined. Was that correct?
Well, I have to confess here in public, going on the Sunday shows is not my favorite thing to do. There are other things I'd prefer to do on Sunday mornings.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, I call it appalling. Absolutely appalling that the Secretary of State's responses to the questions, the legitimate questions and concerns regarding the 9/11 attacks on Benghazi were not only received with disdain by the Secretary of State, but absolutely ridiculous statements. And then to couple it with a statement that Senator Kerry just made during his confirmation hearing makes it even worse. I'm going to play for you right now, number 18. Listen to what he says, and then you realize the danger our country's in with this lack of leadership.
A fruit vendor in Tunisia who ignited the Arab awakening wanted dignity and respect. He wanted to sell his fruit without corruption and abuse. The youth of Tahrir Square, who brought Egypt its revolution, represented a generational thirst for opportunity and individual participatory rights of governance, not a religious movement.
Yeah, well, that's great, except the Secretary of State designate, John Kerry, said they didn't want a religious movement. Well, really, they got the Islamic Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamic regime running the government in Egypt. So whatever they wanted, that's not what they got. Why is that? Because the Islamists utilize these protest movements to advance their agenda. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. More fallout in Washington on this. Jordan, what's the latest there?
Sure. I mean, this is a situation after we really all saw these hearings, the testimony that was given by Secretary Clinton. You understand why the hearings that are going on right now with John Kerry to become Secretary of State are so important. When she threw up her hands and says it doesn't matter, you read the reports, you read journalists left and the right, they all said, yes, it does. It absolutely does matter whether someone did this, four guys did this, which didn't happen, or it was some kind of protest, which didn't happen, or Al-Qaeda. You know, it does matter because it tells us a lot about where we stand in the world in the fight against terrorism.
Yeah.
And by the way, the same guys are now in Mali and the rest of North Africa sweeping through the region.
Yeah, and you know, we're going to get into this in great detail and what this means. We're taking your calls. What about the answers in Benghazi, your reaction? And what about Secretary of State Clinton's statements? We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. By the way, we are well over 226,000 signatures on our petition to free Saeed Abedini. You can call us right now at 1-877-989-2255 to go ahead and sign on to that petition, or ACLJ.org. Again, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org to take a stand for this pastor.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about the situation with the hearings yesterday on Benghazi, the Kerry nomination for Secretary of State today, and, of course, the situation that we're dealing with the pastor in Iran right now is an American, Saeed Abedini, and, again, the State Department. Jordan, right now, the State Department, again, mum's the word. They're saying nothing.
That's right. And today, Pastor Saeed's family went to, this is a visitation day, they went to go see him at Evin prison, and they got there and the guard said, we don't know where he is. Now, they're hoping that this relates to the judge, and this was the report from the attorney there in Iran, that agreed to move him to a better ward within the prison, a ward that is less brutal. And so it could be related to that. That's what the family is hoping, that he's in a new section. They said to come back on Saturday. These next 2 days, today and tomorrow, are the weekend for all intents and purposes in Iran. But they don't know where he is. They have not heard from him at all. The lawyer does not know where he is. And the family's still holding out hope that he has just been moved. There's also some reports and rumors about a release again. You know, let's just say at the bottom line, the family couldn't even find him today. And it's evening now in Iran. Yeah. Do we hope that all these good news is true? Always we do. But until they even know that where he is, I think, you know, you have to assume the worst in Iran. You always assume the worst in Iran, and you hope for better.
Jordan's going to be on Greta Van Susteren this evening program with Nagme, the wife of Pastor Abedini. I'm actually going to be on an hour before that on Sean Hannity's program with Lanny Davis, but I think we'll be hitting this situation on Benghazi. I want to play for you folks. First of all, let me say this. We don't know where the pastor is right now, which has us concerned. His family doesn't either. Hopefully he was moved to a better ward, but we have no indication of that. Definitely, we don't know where he is, and the jailers did not. This brings a troubling situation, especially when the State Department refuses to act. We are encouraging, right now we're over 226,000 signatures on this petition, but the State Department's remaining silent, folks. We've got to fight back. You listen to what they're dealing with right now, and you hear the answers in the Benghazi tragedy in just a moment. It's just outrageous. What's going on. Go to aclj.org. That's aclj.org, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255 and add your name to that petition calling for the pastor's release, the pastor that we can't find as of this morning, which has us very concerned. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. David French, senior counsel for the ACLJ, is in the studios with me here in our media center. I'm going to play a statement question from Senator Johnson yesterday with Hillary Clinton's response, which I think shows you what the difficulty that we have in the State Department, and I don't think it's going to get any better with Senator Kerry. Listen to number 9.
were misled that there were supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But
and the American people could have known that within days,
and
they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
Yeah, this is your Secretary of State right now, Hillary Clinton, who is saying there's no difference, David, between whether it was four guys walking on the street, which, by the way, trivializes the death of four Americans, or whether it was an organized attack. We know what it is. It was Al-Qaeda, and it interferes with the administration's narrative, and their narrative is Al-Qaeda's, basically on the run, except go tell that in Mali, go tell that in Libya, go tell that to the people in Egypt right now. Al-Qaeda on the run, you got the Muslim Brotherhood running Egypt. But this shows a complete callous disregard for the truth here, which they still will not come out and say.
Well, first, she invokes four dead Americans. The fact that they were having a hearing was because their loss was so tragic and so deeply felt. And then she goes on and she sets up this false dichotomy between a protest and some guys out for a walk. What is that about? The question is, was this a pre-planned, pre-executed terrorist attack? And the American people need to know that, because that tells us if Al-Qaeda is back on the move, or if it wasn't, that tells us something different. And that's the core issue. It's between truth and lies, and she's trying to say, what difference does it make?
Yeah, don't worry, though. In the interim, they've sent four F-16s over to the Muslim Brotherhood-led government in Egypt, and 200 tanks are supposed to go, and they want $1.5 billion of our revenue right now. And these are just absurd allegations. That the Secretary of State comes back with, what difference does it make? Jordan, makes all the difference in the world, and this is the problem with what we're dealing with right now in Washington.
Absolutely. It's an administration, really, that is their kind of how they operate. It's, well, it doesn't really matter at this point. We'll figure it out going forward. They ignored. The problem is that they ignored warnings, and the State Department is famous for that. Yes, you put yourself at risk when you serve your country overseas, even and especially these diplomatic roles in places like Libya. But there are still safeguards that you can put in place. And if you know that a real attack is coming, not a gang, not a security guard who's local who turns on you, but a real attack, and you get these warnings that we're not secured enough and they're ignored, then the attack comes, and then you say it's four guys who said, let's kill some Americans tonight? I mean, that's the options, either that or a protest. You can't say that in hearings when neither of the options you just threw up, when you throw your hands up in the air,
right?
When neither happened. The truth is, it was Al-Qaeda. This administration thinks by getting bin Laden that Al-Qaeda, they don't want to acknowledge Al-Qaeda anymore. What about Al-Qaeda in the Maghreb? What about Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula? All of these groups are still operating, and their number one goal is to kill Americans. And we saw that again in Algeria. The French are engaged in a full-scale war with Al-Qaeda in North Africa.
Well, I'll tell you this. Senator Marco Rubio echoed similar statements. Listen to what he said in response to Secretary of State Clinton's statement about what difference does it make.
The secretary went today and said, well, why does this matter? Here's why it matters. Because when they put out word that this was not a terrorist attack, it was sprung out of a spontaneous uprising, it furthered the narrative that somehow Al-Qaeda was in disarray. And the fundamental question is, did the administration really believe that? Because if they did, they badly miscalculated. Or did they know it wasn't true, but for political reasons, did not want that narrative out there?
So this begs the question, and it ties right into the situation with Saeed Abedini, and that is, what is going on in the State Department? What is it that they are so afraid of to just, David, come clean here and say what happened? This was a colossal disaster on September 11th of this past year. We have four dead Americans, no answers from the Secretary of State, and she's indignant as if we have the nerve to even ask her. And then I'm going to play something from Senator Kerry in a moment, which is, when he's confirmed, which he's going to be, you talk about a mess we're going to have on our hands. The lack of understanding, or is it the worldview they're doing?
Well, you have to go back to what is the actual narrative that they put forward going back to Obama's first election in 08. And that was, when we get in charge, because we have a different outlook towards the Muslim world, because we're not George W. Bush, everything's going to be better. What they failed to understand, what they failed to realize is Al-Qaeda hates Americans no matter who is in the Oval Office. They're trying to kill Americans no matter who's in the Oval Office. Iran is our enemy no matter who is in the Oval Office. And they keep trying to act like the world is something other than what it is. And because if they admit that they're wrong, a lot of the logic for the initial election is voided.
Kidding. Jordan, let's take some phone calls. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who do we have?
Rick calling in from Texas on line 5. Rick, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Rick.
Thank you very much. We're big supporters of you, Jay. Just in short, you know, when I watched what she said yesterday, I saw a classic example of this administration. It's arrogant, it's rogue, and it's uninformed. If they do not think that this is how Al-Qaeda got into Libya to pull out a cache of arms that ended up in Mali, then they're not doing their jobs. And on top of it, 4 American citizens died at the hands of Al-Qaeda thugs. And we're not as stupid as they would like for us, as they think we are.
Well, I loved what Rand Paul, senator from Kentucky, had to say about what he would have done if he was president of the United States and it's the Secretary of State Clinton was his Secretary of State. Take a listen to this.
I think that ultimately with your leaving, you accept the culpability for the worst tragedy since 9/11. And I really mean that. Had I been president at the time and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable.
How about that? He would have fired her, basically, is what he said. All right, Jordan, let's get everybody up to speed. And by the way, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. For those just joining us, some developments out of Iran on Pastor Saeed Abedini's case that have us concerned. Jordan's going to be on Greta's program tonight on Fox with the pastor's wife. What is this latest where his family could not find him?
That's right. I mean, the first concern is that no one knows where he is right now. The prison guard, this was a visitation day. The family went to see him. And not only did they deny a visit, but they did not even know where he was. And they said to come back Saturday. That's after their weekend is over in Iran. Now, that could be that he was transferred to a better ward. This is a big prison. Inside that, and the guard specifically didn't know because he's not the administrator of where all of the people are, but he had no idea. And so he has no communication from him. His lawyer got no communication from the judge that he would be moved. We know a family member has been threatened. A family friend has been threatened who was helping, trying to realize that bail that was offered, but keeps being denied, told that we will raid your house and you will lose your job if you continue to help this family. So a lot going on. We don't know where Pastor Saeed right now is. The best hope is that he's in a new ward, a better part of the prison. And of course, you can assume the worst as well.
All right, folks, you've got to speak out. We're trying to find this pastor now in Iran. We don't know what's going on there. We're trying to get facts on the ground. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org.
Broadcast, everyone, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to go right back to the phones. Who's on the call next, Jordan?
Yeah, a lot of calls coming in. Cindy in Illinois online, too. Cindy, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've just got a comment to make. I am just so disgusted, I don't even know where to start. But as far as, like, Benghazi, I'm not surprised that Hillary Clinton had said what she said. It just seems like this administration, from the president on down, they do what they want to do. They're along with themselves. They don't have to answer to anybody, and they're not accountable for anybody. And I don't know where it's going to end. But I just I thank you guys, and I thank God for you guys.
We're glad to give you the information. It's frustrating for us, too, because we're having a difficult time with the State Department on the situation with Pastor Saeed Abedini. But these questions and answers yesterday, Jordan, did not give anybody comfort in where this is going.
No. This was an ambassador and staff of the U.S. government. Yes, they were in a risky place, a place where you can lose your life. A war zone, former war zone after a revolution. There are rough elements moving around. But you still secure what you can. And we know that that wasn't done and that the warnings weren't listened to and they were ignored. And she talked yesterday and said this was a budget issue. That was not true. And that it doesn't matter what really caused it because there's four dead Americans. But certainly in every situation, it matters what caused it. It matters for their families. It matters to other Americans who work at the State Department. I mean, how do they feel if you're in a tough place? Well, who cares? Why they're dead. They're just dead. So, I mean, it's just not the way you operate. The military doesn't operate this way. Well, you don't just throw your hands up there. They do reports. That they do action items. And if you're in conflict zones, which is what he was in,
yep.
Where guns are all over the place, you would think we could come up with something better than a made-up protest. That's really what they use for 5 or 6 days.
Yeah, well, more than that. Remember, the president was talking about the movie film, the YouTube clip for 10 days afterwards. David, you serve as a judge advocate general. But let's talk about this, your reaction to this whole thing.
Well, let's be clear about something. We've had hearings. We've had reports. We still know almost nothing about what happened that night of any importance.
That's the problem.
In any military engagement that would be like that, there is a minute-by-minute account of what happened and who ordered what and how people responded that is generated. I have read those reports. There are books published based on those kinds of reports, and I guarantee you such a report exists within the military and the State Department right now that we still have not seen, we still have not heard, and we don't know why it was that those Americans, particularly the two who died later on, were left to die when help could have come.
It's pretty incredible that this has happened. All right, we're going to grab another phone call here before the break. Remember this, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you're on SiriusXM, you're getting the full program. If not, just go to aclj.org, and we'll stream it online live as it's happening. Jordan, who's next?
Johnny's calling from California on line 6. Johnny, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jay. Thank
yes,
you so much.
Sure.
May God richly bless your lives.
Thank you.
I cannot believe this lady stood in front of all of us and told us that it was irrelevant, that it didn't matter, these four lives didn't matter, that she was taking steps to fix it. It matters to me.
Well, she did actually say she was taking steps. Let me play her response for you, number 10.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, it makes a lot of difference because if you're going to fix it, which she says, she later goes on to say, well, she's going to try to prevent it again. Really, she wasn't even reading the cables that were the aspects of what was going on in Benghazi. So that kind of tells you the nature of it. But go ahead, Johnny. Your frustration level, I think, by the way, the American people have that same frustration level. There were no answers. No answers in the hearings yesterday before the House and the Senate.
And 9/11, at least you would look at cables on 9/11.
You'd think, right. That's the real problem with this. And that's the, I think, what you're going to see coming out, I'm going to play this for you, folks. What you're going to see out of Secretary of State designate, who's been nominated, Secretary of State Kerry, he makes a statement. It's number 18 here. I'm going to play it in a moment, which tells you how naive, or, Jordan, as you're saying, before we play it, Jordan, you don't think it's naive. You think this is this narrative they're trying to get out.
I think it's a mindset that they have, you know, that they don't understand why people don't like them and that they don't make distinctions between Americans that are so liberal and so educated about the world, and why should they not like us? We're relativists. We don't think anything is wrong, that, you know, they can define their own right and wrong for how they treat people. And again, and then those of us on the conservative side, you know, why can't they see the difference? Which is why they always try to ignore the religious part of this. And the religious part of this, if you are a jihadist, an Islamic jihadist, a terrorist, you don't make a distinction between John Kerry's political views and Jordan Sekulow's political views.
Right.
We're both Americans, and so we're targets. I mean, that's just the truth. And it doesn't matter if you say nice things or think that they're going to change. They don't. It doesn't matter if you just kill one or two leaders. It can be important, but they don't go away. They are dedicated to this fight and to act as if it is over or was over 2 years ago or a year ago is to ignore reality. And the real reality that if Syria falls, for instance, it falls to Al-Qaeda.
Right.
If Mali falls, it falls to Al-Qaeda. Libya is falling to Al-Qaeda. The list goes on.
You know, look, we've seen the appeasement movie before in the Middle East. And Bill Clinton, when he was president, the foreign leader who visited the White House more than any other foreign leader was Yasser Arafat. He reached out to the PLO more than any other American president in history, put more pressure on Israel than any other American president aside from Jimmy Carter. And then what happened? 9/11. The 9/11 plot was hatched even while Yasser Arafat was meeting with Bill Clinton. So the enemy does not care what we do. They want to kill us. And when we wake up to that, it will serve America much better.
Well, listen to this comment from Senator Kerry to his confirmation hearings today, where he talks about what's happened in Egypt and Tunisia, and he says these are not religious movements. Take a listen.
A fruit vendor in Tunisia who ignited the Arab awakening wanted dignity and respect. He wanted to sell his fruit without corruption and abuse. The youth of Tahrir Square, who brought Egypt its revolution, represented a generational thirst for opportunity and individual participatory rights of governance, not a religious movement.
The students may not have had a religious movement, but who's running the government in Egypt that, by the way, we just sent four F-16s to? The Muslim Brotherhood. So, you know, Senator Kerry, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter who was on the streets. Behind all of these protests right now are groups like Al-Qaeda. That's who's running the ship. That's who's fostering these. That's who's ending up taking control. And we are naive if we think that this is a democracy peace movement where we're going to have a, you know, a kumbaya moment of everybody, can't we just get along? That's not what's happening in the Muslim world right now. And as Jordan went through that list of Syria, Libya, Mali, Egypt, folks, it's a dangerous situation. Hey, look, here's what we need you to do. This is today and tomorrow, the last 2 days, we're going to be able to work on this petition on radio anyways for Pastor Saeed. We don't know where he is right now. This is a... could be a positive development in the sense he could have been moved to a better place, but it could also be a very negative development, and I don't even have to state what the obvious could be on that. So we need you to sign with now over 250,000 signatures between the internet and phones, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org, or you call us right now. We've got to find this pastor. He's an American. We got to get him out of jail. 877-989-2255 is the number. You can sign up easily at ACLJ.org or simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back, and share this information on your social media outlets as well. Back with more in a moment.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And we're going right back to the phones. Who do we have next?
Tim calling in from Florida on line 4. Tim, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Tim.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
I think this is all a bunch of nonsense, and I don't know what to say. It's just too outrageous. I'm a veteran, and I don't appreciate a bit of it.
Well, David French is a veteran also, and this idea of, you know, leaving your people on the battlefield has never been something that the military or Americans take lightly, and we don't do that. But unfortunately, this administration, her response, David, was, you know, basically too bad. It happened. That's what happens. He was in a bad zone. Sorry. Basically, that's what she said.
What difference does it make at this point? She says, you know, here's the thing. This is fail, fail, fail. They failed to protect the embassy when they knew there was increased danger. They failed to come to the aid of Americans under fire in a multi-hour firefight. And then they failed to tell the truth to the public. And then she has the gall to get up there and act indignant. She should be nothing but apologetic and holding people to account in the State Department. And we don't even know if anyone's been fired. In fact, it looks like people just got kind of shuffled around administratively in the State Department after one of the worst failures on every level in American diplomatic history.
You know, Jordan, tell us what's going to happen up there. What do you expect? I mean, she's done testifying. She's done. This was her swan song. She's finished. She's not answering any more questions. Are we right?
Yeah, that was it with Hillary Clinton. I mean, she introduced John Kerry today, and then he is now going to be in the spotlight, you know, playing on that he's going to be confirmed, and not much of a battle there. So he will then have to respond to some of these investigations. But that was really, I think, what you got to see there was the administration's view on how much they care about these matters, which is very little. The only reason she got aggressive in that is because she was annoyed that she even had to talk about it.
You know, it's hard to believe that, you know, the level of her statement. I mean, I'm going to play it again. I know we've played it a lot here, but this is number 10. And this is just just listen to the tone of your Secretary of State.
The fact is we had 4 dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
You know, let me break this down because I'm a lawyer and we're all lawyers on this radio broadcast. Here's what we've got. The fact is we have 4 dead Americans. Well, that was true. Was it because of a protest? Well, actually, the answer to that is no, it was not. Was it because 4 guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? No, that wasn't it either. What difference does it make? All the difference in the world. And, David, that's part of the we don't want to know who the enemy is, therefore there is no enemy.
Well, exactly, exactly.
I mean, that's the problem.
Well, you know, it shows that they view it through a political – how much they view this through a political lens. I mean, what difference at this point does it make? In finishing that thought in her head, we won the election. We got past that. Now why are we still talking about this?
Well, Jordan, let's talk about Senator Kerry. He's going to be confirmed, correct? He will be the Secretary of State.
Yes. I mean, it would be a shock and some new revelation of why that would not happen. So everyone assumes that, and we'll see how different he is, but probably very in line with the administration. We know this wasn't their first choice. We know that they wanted to go with Susan Rice, which tells you how serious the cover-up was. With Benghazi, because let me tell you, Susan Rice much closer to President Obama than John Kerry, and certainly he would want to have someone like that in a position. But he even knew that it wasn't worth the political battle. I guess Chuck Hagel was a better political battle than Susan Rice.
I'm going to play for you right now Congressman Jeff Duncan from South Carolina making a statement to Secretary of State Clinton. As we get ready for the break, you need to hear this, folks. Listen, number 14.
Madam Secretary, you let the consulate become a death trap. And that's national security malpractice. You've said you take responsibility. What does the word responsibility mean to you, Madam Secretary?
I think I've made that very clear, Congressman. And let me say that we've come here and made a very open, transparent presentation.
You know, they do think the American people are just not listening to this stuff, but the American people are. Folks, we're taking a break. We'll be taking more of your calls when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. We've got a lot of people hanging on the line. Hang on the line, folks. We'll get to you in a moment. Also, if you haven't signed that petition for Saeed Abedini, 877-989-2255. You can also do so at aclj.org. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org.
An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Coming up on the 31st of the month is going to be Senator Hagel's nomination and confirmation hearings for Secretary of Defense, which, you got Secretary of State Kerry and Secretary of Defense Hagel. Which I'm going to ask Jordan this first, then Than. I mean, excuse me, Jordan, then David. This kind of tells you where we're going. I mean, this is going to be a very difficult 4 years, in my view, for America and where America needs to be headed as far as our global presence goes. Jordan?
Absolutely. I mean, this, again, very different than Secretary Clinton, who was kind of a consolation. You know, she was, it was a close race, popular within the Democrat Party. So it was a position, and you never quite believe that they were totally in sync. And I, you know, I have to wonder about that sometimes with her frustration. Even yesterday, if it's she's so frustrated with the administration, and that she's the one who had to answer these questions when it really wasn't her pushing this narrative at all. But that was her kind of final act, and that's part of doing the job. Even if you know, she could have come out and said, "I didn't have anything to do with this; it was wrong," but she didn't. So there's that narrative. But then there's these people like Kerry who are really are going to, I think, just carry out exactly what President Obama wants. And I really do believe the same thing with Chuck Hagel. People talked about how Chuck Hagel's so independent and this and that. The truth is, no one would give Chuck Hagel that job. No president would, based on his record, unless they thought he would do exactly what they said, which isn't necessarily bad. But to think that he's going to be some independent voice,
please.
You know, indignation doesn't last right. long in administrations. And that's why I think people expected that from Secretary Clinton. But notice she never was indignant about the White House or others inside the administration. Not at all.
You brought up a good point, though. A lot of her frustration yesterday, which I think was still uncalled for, unnecessary, wrong, didn't answer questions, could be internal disputes with inside the administration. She's becoming the fall person for this when she doesn't want to. David?
Well, I think Jordan raises a good point about the difference between Hillary Clinton and how she became Secretary of State. Let's not forget, in 08, he demolished her in the primary by running to her left on foreign policy.
Right.
By accusing her of being too hawkish. And it's not any real secret that she's more of a hawk than Barack Obama is. Now he's getting in people who far more reflect his worldview, who far more are of the mindset that, well, you know, the Muslim radicals will stop hating us so long as we withdraw, so long as we shrink back. When the fact of the matter is they're encouraged by that, and history has shown that.
Yeah, let me play Secretary of State designatee, the nominee, Senator Kerry, talking about what's going on in the Middle East right now. This is number 19.
The world is well aware that we face a number of immediate dangerous challenges, particularly in the Middle East and South Central Asia. Given our extraordinary interest in nonproliferation We must resolve the question surrounding Iran's nuclear program.
I'm feeling like I'm listening to FDR here. You know, this is, what are we talking about? We're gonna do something with their Iran's nuclear proliferation program. What have we done in 4 years? Nothing. Zero. Nothing. All right, we're gonna go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Sherry calling in from California on line one. Sherry, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Jay and Jordan and David. I was still laughing after the commercial, her saying that we're transparent, you know.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You know, I mean, but I just wanted to say as a mom, you know, her disregard for these four beautiful men, you know, and they are fathers and brothers and sons. And I just wonder if her and Chelsea were over there visiting the ambassador on 9/11, if they would have felt just fine staying there.
Yeah, well, maybe they would have read the cables to start with. That would have been a good thing. But look, again, this was Secretary of State's final, Clinton's final statement to the United States House and Senate. She's done. Finished. I'm playing it because it shows you where they were and where they're going. But she's done. We now have got to have a new Secretary of State who believes that the Arab Spring is not being controlled by religious fanatics. I mean, this is when you ask yourself, you know, what are they doing here? But again, it's what Jordan and David have been saying. It's this narrative they're trying to create, and they're going to do everything they can to keep that narrative going. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Steve calling in from Oregon on line five. Steve, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I'm just wondering why the United Nations is so silent when all these embassies are sovereign ground. Can you imagine what the outcry would have been if Libyan or Iranian embassies in the United States would have been attacked and their personnel killed?
Yeah, Jordan, is part of this because, and we do a lot of work at the UN, our European Center for Law and Justice, our ECLJ is an NGO with the United Nations. Is part of it because the UN ambassador, which is there, Susan Rice, was so caught up in this controversy that she did not push the getting the UN involvement, because the UN has also been quiet there? And what about on Saeed Abedini, the pastor? What have they said there?
Well, I mean, listen, now when you're talking, the UN is saying they're going to issue an urgent action, and I do believe the UN is actually moving faster than the State Department. So
that tells you something.
And an American citizen. But the person we've worked with on this there, who's the special rapporteur for human rights in Iran, is a Muslim. And this is upsetting to him, the treatment of these Christians. He said that about Youssef Nadarkhani. He's been denied access to Iran. I mean, the truth is Iran flouts even the United Nations. They don't care. They say, you know, they're going ahead with the nuclear program and your human rights people can't go. But I can't go into every detail, but I do want to say that based on this news today, we'll see what happens. I mean, this is very concerned that his family does not know exactly where he is or if he's still in the prison. There are reports of that he's not in prison anymore, and the truth is his wife doesn't know where he is. We'd be the first ones to say it if we do, and that he's safe. But we're saying the opposite because we don't know, and his family there doesn't know, hasn't heard from him. But on the second part of that is that there is a lot of work going on behind the scenes that we obviously can't talk about. Not just the State Department, obviously, and the kind of the ask that we've had, which is to demand and call for his release and condemn Iran for this behavior, secret trials that occurred this week after his first day of trial, but also other countries around the world as well. And I can confirm that as of this morning. But even they are getting misinformation from Iran.
Yeah. So, folks, it is a really serious situation again. As of this morning, the family was not able to locate Saeed Abedini in the prison, which has got everybody very concerned. We want to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition for his release. Pray that he's okay also, or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, that's easy as well. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phones.
Yep, Roger calling in from New York on line six. Roger, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, I noticed you guys make excellent use of soundbites, and here's a soundbite I have for you. Who do you want answering that phone at 3 a.m? My answer, none of those three.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a good soundbite, and the truth is, they're the ones going to be answering it, though. This is the reality of what we've gotten, folks. That means we're going to have to be fighting very aggressively on so many of these issues. I know we've got calls coming in, and we're going to take them in a moment on the situation with the F-16s and what's going on with the Egypt aid. Tham Bennett's not on the broadcast today because he's working Capitol Hill right now on those issues, folks. So, again, we're on top of all of them. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on here. David, let me ask you this. Your thoughts on the prognosis for the future based on the appointments that we're seeing?
You know, it feels like we're in one of these cycles of American history where we begin to shrink back from the realities of the world until the world comes and bites us again. And the unfortunate thing is we're doing it while we're still in a war. You know, one of the things that President Obama said in his inauguration was a decade of war is now ending. Well, no one told Al-Qaeda that. Yeah. No one told the other Muslim radicals that, and they're still fighting us. And he said that on the very day when they were counting the bodies of Americans in Algeria. Really astonishing.
That was an astonishing statement. And again, do you think it's, again, trying to paint this narrative, which is not based on fact, but it's more fantasy than fact? What's your sense?
Well, yeah, I think there is a fantasy here that terrorism is over and that the battles that we've been fighting are over. And, you know, it's the Arab Spring, and yes, they may be internally fighting. That's part of a, you know, revolutionary movement. The truth is they may be internally fighting, but they sure do have time to kill us in the midst of that. And that's because many of those who are in these countries, who are not even from the countries, are just seizing on chaos. And whether you're the Muslim Brotherhood who seizes on the chaos of the Mubarak regime falling and wins an election and people are scared to vote, whether you are those who have joined forces with real freedom fighters in Syria against the Assad regime, but have now overtaken those freedom fighters so that it would be a Taliban-style, Al-Qaeda-ish new government there. I mean, the list goes on. Think about Algeria and this attack on the oil facility. Killing Americans whenever they can, wherever they can.
All right, folks, we're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break, so if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Today and tomorrow, last 2 days to sign on radio the petition for Saeed Abedini, the pastor in Iran who's an American, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 255. We'll be taking your calls as well, as I said, at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Share this information on social media, Facebook, Twitter. Go to ACLJ.org, get all that information. Back with more in a moment.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at ACLJ.org. An American pastor is on trial in Iran right now because of his Christian faith. Pastor Saeed Abedini, who has been in prison since September, is now facing charges in an Iranian courtroom. The ACLJ is representing Pastor Saeed's family in the U.S. and continues to work to secure his freedom. But the United States has failed to fully engage this case. The State Department, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, President Obama, and his press secretary have failed to call for this American citizen's release. There is still time to make a difference, though, but we need to hear from you right now. sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.
That's 800-684-3110. By the way, that music during the bumpers, that is from the in-house band here at J Secular Live. I'm not kidding you. The drummer was really good. I'm not going to say who it is. All right, 1-800-684-3110. I want to play a soundbite from Secretary of State Clinton. As the president's saying that 10 years, a decade of war is coming to an end, listen to number three.
Concerns about terrorism and instability in North Africa are, of course, not new. They have been a top priority for the entire administration's national security team. But we have been facing a rapidly changing threat environment, and we have had to keep working at ways to increase pressure on Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb and the other terrorist groups in the region.
But don't worry, everybody. A decade of war, David, is coming to an end.
Oh, exactly. I mean, all thanks to withdrawing from Afghanistan, that's all it's going to take. The war is over. You know, once again, no one told that to Al-Qaeda. I mean, they have been, think about in the last few months what terrorists have been able to accomplish. They have killed an American ambassador, the first American ambassador to die in 33 years. They have killed American hostages in Algeria. And a terrorist actually overran part of a base in Afghanistan and destroyed an entire squadron of Harrier fighter jets, which has never happened since Vietnam or before Vietnam. But a decade of war is ending.
Yeah, there you go. All right, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Scott in Texas on line one. Scott, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, thank you very much for
talking
to my call. And I know this is a little bit off the topic, but I was curious, and I'm glad y'all are going on Sean Hannity. I think he's wonderful. But last night on the show, he were talking about the F-16s, and
yep.
I was talking about that. Where do you think we stand as far as those going over to Egypt and how that's going to affect?
Well, they've sent four, have been delivered. There's opposition by Congressman Buchanan in the House to having those go forward, the additional 200 tanks as well. But there's also a $1.5 billion request for aid, direct aid, $1.5 billion. That, so far, I'm happy to report, we've stopped. I mean, that has not moved forward because we heard from hundreds of thousands of you on petitions. The F-16s, Jordan, I'm concerned that they're going to deliver them. They've delivered four.
Sure. The truth is this administration ignoring Congress, which I think will get them in trouble later, they've been holding billions of dollars in funding to Egypt. So this move, kind of ignoring the congressional calls to stop this, put the pause button, basically, and get back and make sure there's an agreement. I mean, Morsi blamed the Jewish-controlled media to seven U.S. senators who were visiting him. He's been constantly now making these comments over and over again. And the truth is, until he comes to an agreement with us, we shouldn't be sending anything. But this administration, I think you see it from John Kerry. I think you saw it from Secretary Clinton yesterday. They don't care.
Here's what
they ignore reality.
Here's what John Kerry actually said about this involving Egypt, number 21.
Now, specifically, and we're all going to have to face this, Egypt is a quarter of the Arab world. It is critical to everything that we aspire to see happen in the Middle East. Peace with Israel, protection of the Sinai, security, the development of that part of the world.
So we're sending them weapons, F-16s, 200 tanks. You got the president of Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood-led president of Egypt, calling Jews pigs and made disparaging comments about Jews and Israel in front of seven U.S. senators. And John Kerry's acting like Egypt's on the progress, is making on their progress report, they get a B+.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
Absolutely absurd. You know, let's not forget that when we're talking about who attacked the Americans in Libya and attacked Americans in Algeria, you know, many of those were Egyptians.
Right.
Many of those were Egyptians. And so now Egypt is becoming a source of terrorist activity.
And isn't it true also, Jordan, you've been able to confirm that that there are individuals from Libya and Egypt that were part of the Algeria, the attack that just took place there?
Yes. I mean, yes. There were all these different foreign nationals there, all who are, again, associated with radical Islam and al-Qaeda and militant groups. And now they're joining up with the North African and even the Saharan al-Qaeda groups in the Maghreb.
Yep.
And this is these are dangerous. This is Darfur, but better organized.
Yeah.
This is, you know, 10 years later. And remember, Bin Laden, those guys, that's where they were in these areas. So you can't look at a border and say, well, they're fighting in Mali and their thing happened in Algeria. It's all together. Those were colonial borders drawn by people, you know, 50, 60 years ago who really didn't understand the situation, the tribal connections. These groups do, and they're exploiting it, and that's yep. why they can take over these large swaths of land very quickly.
All right, let's get some more phone calls. Who's next?
Kathy in Michigan on line 3. Kathy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you. Hi, Jay. I really appreciate all you do in your ministry.
Thank you.
I just have a comment and then a question.
All right.
I just believe that there are many Christians out there who want to know where we can unite, you know, and stand together and somehow have that place where we can be together and hold our government responsible for, you know, all the unaccountability they have portrayed here. So I'm just going,
yeah,
our leadership, and why haven't they called?
Well, let me tell you what we're doing, and I'm going to let David address this and Jordan very quickly because I want to get some more calls here. When you sign these petitions, folks, when you got a quarter of a million people on a petition, you are standing together, and David, that makes a big impact. And I want Jordan to comment on it quickly too, but David first.
Well, absolutely. Number one, it drives national attention all by itself.
Absolutely.
Number two, it gets the attention of elected officials like you wouldn't believe. 200,000+ people who've actually taken the time to sign a petition makes a big difference. And number three, as we saw with Pastor Youssef, with that wonderful outcome in Iran, the news of this engagement actually reached all the way to Tehran.
Yeah, and Jordan, and the situation with Saeed Abedini, that they're coming out with these statements to the government there because of the what they're hearing in our media, which is driven in large part by the petitions.
Right, they don't like their assets being frozen, their family's assets being frozen throughout Europe, anyone connected to them. They don't like when we can report that their right-hand man, the court administrator, threatened a family friend with his job and said, your house will be raided if you don't stop. And we named them. Sitari is his name. I keep saying it over and over in every interview I've done because he should probably be added to the sanctions list as well. This judge has tried to put out misinformation, but it's his assistant doing the threats. You know, the news comes out there. The truth is you don't rely on the courts
right.
in Iran. I mean, you rely on public outcry, and everyone knows that. And so, again, folks, your voice really does make a difference. That's why so many of the news stories, almost all of them, report our petition number in it. They want, so if we get to that 300,000 mark, it's a huge, huge number to report. That many Americans so concerned about this American
let's
pastor,
take Laura very,
Pastor Saeed.
Yeah, let's take Laura very quickly here. It'll be the last call we can grab. Laura, very quickly, you're on the air. Hi, Laura.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Very quickly, please.
Okay, my thing is with the whole Hillary Clinton
yep.
denying what was said, doesn't that just make her just as bad as the Islamic terrorist groups?
Well, no. I mean, but it makes her – was she carrying the party line here, or was she the one carrying the bad news? I mean, that's the question you were going to ask. But you know what? In about 48 hours, it's not going to make much difference because Secretary of State is going to be John Kerry. But we still can demand the answers to Benghazi. We lost Americans there. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you to sign on this petition. Today, tomorrow, last day to do it on radio, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Go to twitter.com/JordanSecki. You can follow Jordan on Twitter. We'll keep you posted as all this develops. Watch us on Fox tonight. It'll be a lot happening. So we should be on Fox News starting with Sean Hannity's program. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
There is still time to make a difference, but we need to hear from you right now. Sign on to our petition to free Pastor Saeed and urge the Obama administration to take action to secure the freedom of this American citizen. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.